Hello, everyone. Lendold Guntram is saying, is there another whistleblower? Lol. Yes, here we go again. Whistleblower, Schnickel Brumfler. We have another case. This is very rare in the news, but I'm titling and I'm using a thumbnail that we used a couple of months ago because it's the same news. There's once more, there is a whistleblower showing up. It's not a real whistleblower. It's an agent of the government, of a set of interests that are revolving around intelligence community, military, government, and Democrat Party, and who makes it look like he's revealing some massive vulnerabilities in the computer systems of Twitter, but it's all a planned push for legislation of social media, because I know it's hard to believe, but that's how Democrats think. Democrats think that the social media landscape is a wild, wild west in the need of legislation, even more than it is now. They're not satisfied by how it is controlled right now. No matter how much of these CEOs are banning people like me, shutting us down, transforming the internet into a cartel, they don't care. They think it's not enough and they want more government in. And that kind of guy comes to deliver exactly the kind of arguments, the kind of revelations that they want. So you have to see what's the end goal here, to evaluate whether this is a true whistleblower or just a contract employee of the Democrat Party. And the latter seems much more reasonable, especially since this guy has been doing this for 22 years. Look at this. This guy has promoted himself as an expert of computer security, an ethical hacker, for 22 years, and it's exactly what he's been doing. He's been going to Congress saying everything is going to crash, we are in danger, Russia, China, we're going to get attacked, please legislate. He's been doing it back in the days, so there's nothing that changes except the name, whistleblower.
Every day there's something new. There's new computers, there's new software, there's new techniques, and there's new crime.
This is CNN. 22 years ago.
So you have to be open to that. You have to be willing to zig when they zag.
Zigging when others zag has never been a problem for this man, known in the computer world simply as Mudge. Like Klinkhart, his roots are in hacking, figuring out how computers and software work. Mudge advises the United States government.
There he is in front of the White House government and eventually Congress to push for what he was pushing back then, which is to understand, to see the current computer economy as under threat and therefore government must come in. Now this guy has a company, he had a company, I don't know if he still has it, but that basically offers these services both to the government. He had contracts with the Department of Defense, and he's also been working in the private sector, and he's been employed at Twitter. And guess what happened when he was employed? He got fired because he wasn't very productive. They didn't like his leadership. They didn't like his worries that seemed unjustified, so they fired him, so now he's on a quest of vengeance against Twitter, and he's using the exact moment where Twitter can be hurt the most. Now, it's not that I want to take the defense of Twitter here, but the timing is extremely interesting when he's exploiting basically the weakness of Twitter on the stock market already, because they're in conflict with Elon Musk, and their stock value currently is much lower than what Elon Musk had promised. And so all hangs in the balance of whether they will get a judge to force Elon Musk to buy them. He comes also following the other whistleblower who someone calls the glowy of Facebook. Yes, that was a glowy one. She was glowing in the dark, and she was doing the same for Facebook. So they come out and they make a couple of revelations that justify the government controlling these companies more, eventually to get IDs, to get identification, to get more censorship, to get more control of speech, to get more algorithms, to basically turn the internet into what it was already turned into voluntarily by these CEOs, a crap fest of leftist censorship. Twitter whistleblower reveals company hid extreme egregious deficiencies. Musk subpoenas Dorsey and ex-security chief. Twitter CEO Parag Agrawal has sent a message to staff this morning about the Washington Post whistleblower story. He's basically telling his team, look, this guy is weird. He's telling weird stories, lots of inconsistencies and inaccuracies. Of course, what the Agrawal must understand is that his business, his way of making a living, is under attack. It's under attack by a bunch of Democrats who tried to please them by having a couple of heads that you could argue you have hanged, and it wasn't enough. So the Democrats want more until you have no business left. But that's the choice you've made. You made the choice to kneel to the censors, kneel to the leftists, and they have reached a point where, oh, you're not cooperating further. Well, we're going to force you with government hand. So Agrawal could have avoided this by keeping the internet a wild, wild west and waiting for legislation. What good was it to destroy your own business, destroy free speech on Twitter? All of this voluntarily in the expectation of possible laws. Let them legislate. You'll see that it's hard to legislate a company that is basically just speech, because the legislator cannot do much against speech. And you would have had a much more easier ride in court, and you would have kept the distinctive product. But no, instead you tried turning Twitter into a social circle jerk for leftists, and you lost, because the leftists are never happy. They keep eating more and more and more. And now this guy wants more. Now he's not happy with how Russia could penetrate your security, and he's going to tell all these dirty stories about your company in legislative sessions that are protected, so he won't be bound by an NDA when he makes these testimonies. John Drake says, I think Twitter's valuation was $90 billion before they kicked Trump. Holders should sue the officers into their oblivion. They could, but it could also just crash and there could be no lawsuits at all. I don't care. I want to see Twitter fall. Musk lawyer Alex Shapiro said they want to talk to Twitter whistleblower. We have already issued a subpoena for Mr. Zatko, and we found his exit and that of other key employees curious in light of what we have been finding. One day after Elon Musk's legal team subpoenaed former Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, they now want to speak with the whistleblower. Of course, this whistleblower says he has no conflict of interest, that he has a couple of Tesla shares, and that he has a couple of Twitter shares that he was rewarded with as an employee, but that he doesn't intend to sell them during these disclosures because he's not there to profit from the situation, he says. But his interventions on the public space historically have always been toward more government involvement on the web and on the argument of security. But eventually, when the government messes with the wild, wild west of the web, they end up putting more restrictions, and you get something that used to be a place of free speech and free exchange, and it gets transformed into a governmental service that sucks, and on which speech, of course, is controlled. What are the key allegations? Well, here's a couple listed. There are some others. No adequate oversight of employees. So apparently too many employees with passwords and full access to the platform. I wouldn't be surprised that it's one of the problems that leads to arbitrary censorship of the kind I've been the victim of. So if all employees have access to deciding this guy is a robot, this guy is a spammer, of course they end up finding this and they are biased, but potentially some of them are activists, they are LGBT leftist liberal activists, and they end up attacking people like me. That's probably why they ended up saying that I was a bot based on no evidence at all. Senior executives cover up vulnerabilities. So the whistleblower, before getting fired, tried alerting what he perceived was vulnerabilities from inside the company, but he got fired and they dismissed his claims. Executives mislead the board and regulators. Okay. So that's the aspect of regulation here is definitely present, because that's what this guy is always after, more regulation. Not reliably deleting user data. Okay, that would be an important one. It is true that it's bizarre how Twitter claims that they are deleting your data when you delete your account, but then they can spot you as having opened a new account from the same IP address or the same computer or the same phone. How can you do this if you have deleted all of the data? You certainly keep some of the data. And so, yes, this needs to be discussed. Do not have resources to know the true number of bots on the platform. Of course, that's a whistleblower revelation that is designed to please Elon Musk. I don't know if there will be. He says he has no personal relationship with Elon Musk, but you never know with this kind of thing. Elon Musk could be paying a bunch of liars. Here's a couple of million of dollars. Why don't you take care of this guy for me? Or, there are paths for money to get from Elon Musk to this guy that are not necessarily direct. There could be rewards for what he's doing here, because it does give an additional argument to Elon Musk in court. If there was truly things that were covered up, then Elon Musk might argue that he should have been made aware. And there are terms in the contract of Elon Musk with Twitter that if there were disclosures that were false to the SEC in the past, Elon Musk could have this as a claim to disengage from the contract. So there are some rights here that are very important for Elon Musk and that could lead to a victory in court. Additionally, he says this is not noted in that list, but he says that Russia and China could have access to Twitter, could manipulate the platform, could have fake accounts, bot farms, and influence Twitter. But at some point we have to ask, is it legitimate for an American journalist to be on Twitter? Is it legitimate for a Russian journalist to be on Twitter? Can a Russian citizen or a Chinese citizen be on Twitter? Can they have their own opinion? Can they express their opinion on the American democracy? All of this is very American-centric, when in fact a successful social media platform will be international. That's how they will get the network effect of having a lot of people attracted to a public discussion. So these concerns, they all are designed to allow the government to put its hand in a business that it doesn't have much hands yet into. Callum Oxworth says, if you have the opportunity to do a huge favor for the richest guy in the world, you would do it. Yeah, I mean, I have principles personally. I wouldn't do something just for pleasing a billionaire. But I know how to please billionaires, and do it within the bounds of my moral framework. I've done so in the past with Jeff Epstein. So sometimes I find I'm more of a broker. I'm not the kind of guy to kneel. I'm not the kind of guy to beg. I'm more a guy who says, okay, this guy wants this. I want this. Is there a possibility of overlap here? Can I do some magic happen in the middle? That's more my type. John Drake says, looks like Musk was just trolling Twitter. I think he wants to smash it and build his own system. I mean, I would want to dream of this, but there's no evidence that Musk is engaged in the production of his own platform. It would be beautiful to see. But, you know, in the end, what can he do that's better than Gab? Attract more people, maybe? Maybe? Maybe not. In the end, the problem of all these alternative platforms is they can be only just as good as Twitter, and they end up attracting a more specialized crowd. That is the problem. But if Twitter can fall for real, then all these alternative platforms are just as good. You know, Truth Social, Getter, and so and Gab. Who knows where people will flock? But the great thing about Gab is that they have shown across multiple years, it's now the 7th year celebration of Gab. They have showed for close to a decade that they can stand for free speech against the wind. And so I hope that they are the ones to succeed. Philman is having lag problems, I don't know. Try to put it at 480p. Maybe you have a slower connection, but the other people on the stream don't seem to be experiencing problems. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way of receiving support for the show. Alternatively, you can use the Entropy link in the description below. Twitter is crashing on the market. Twitter used to be at 51, close to the Elon Musk offer. And now it's at 39.86. It has dropped by considerable amount today. That's the one day. So it was at 41 at the beginning of the day. 41.92, and now it's down $2 approximately. So hopefully Twitter gets a hit and a hit and a hit again. So, you know, I'm not super sympathetic to these guys, this guy, because I don't like being sold something that is deceptive in nature. That's my problem. But in the end, his effect can only be negative for Twitter, and so I enjoy it to a certain extent. But it's like, this is a psyop, okay? I know that the term is frowned upon, but this is what a psyop is. It's a psychological operation. It's a marketing operation for computer security and specifically for government involvement in controlling speech on the internet. Naberius sends $25. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, thanks for standing for the truth night after night, JF. Thank you, Naberius. Naberius, I believe. Oh no, I thought you were a mod on Discord. But no, he is not a mod. I see him in the PT coalition. Well, thank you so much for your support. And yes, that's what I try to do. I don't find on the internet the kind of content I would like to consume. And so I try to produce it every night. It's been a while since I haven't watched my own show. Maybe I should, you know. At the beginning of my career, I would rewatch my own show to check the sound and everything. But as I got older, I kind of trust my sound hardware and everything. Maybe I should start watching my own show a couple of times just for quality control. Sargon of Akkad has a text about the definition of a woman a conservative definition of woman. I think that Sargon goes way too complex. And he falls, in a way, he falls in the leftist complex conception. He says, to properly define what woman means, we need to understand the full scope of the term. I would argue that woman is what British philosopher Bernard Williams would describe as a thick concept, that is, a concept containing many layers that are intrinsically entwined and which cannot be separated without destroying the concept itself. And now he goes on to say, well, you know, that there are some women who are unable to make babies, and they say that they feel deprived of a part of their womanhood. And so he concludes that making babies is part of being a woman. But this is all the feeling of. If you cite, oh, she feels like she's not a woman anymore, therefore, you've already trusted feelings here, and you're already in the leftist world. Be careful, Sargon. You are falling for leftist memes around feelings and impressions, and this blurs your definition. It's quite simple, defining a woman. A woman is a member of the... It's a reproductive member of the human species, capable of furnishing the egg as part of the meiotic cycle. And the rest, you know, not having hair below the... not having beard, or having a higher pitched voice, or acting feminine, or being ladylike. All of this stems from the natural selection pressure that apply to this side, as opposed to the natural selection pressures that apply to the male side, because the males, not being the carrier of the egg, have different roles in evolution. There are things that they become specialized in, and there are things that the egg carrier becomes specialized in. So it's not so much that woman is defined in a multi-layered way. It's defined in a way. It's a human female reproductive egg bearer. But that definition implies consequences. The same way, if you were to define planes as vehicles that can fly, there would be consequences. You're going to end up with a lot of planes that have wings, because wings happen to be a good way to fly. Women have high-pitched voice and ladylike manners because it's a good way to be an egg carrier in the human species. And then we have the eternal question. Shelburne comes with it. Every time I say this, people come to me with this. Is a woman with no eggs left still a woman? Well, is a car with no gas still a car? We will recognize that it's still a car. I mean, you can remove one of the wheels, and it's not functional as a car at all anymore. But you're still going to say it's a car. It's a car that is broken in some way. And I think we should introduce this. I know it's going to trigger the leftist, but we should introduce the concept of a broken woman, a broken car, a broken man. And just to be clear that it's still a man, it's still a woman. There's just a little dysfunction here. Perhaps this dysfunction can be medically corrected, but perhaps not. And perhaps it's the end of life for this car. Chuck Garrity says, I met a young woman who has 3 kids at 25. She thinks it's a bad thing. However, I see her as a very blessed person. This is an amazing phenomenon. It's killing me because how do you transmit to the other generations just how bad the boomer lifestyle was? And you can't, because you're going to have babies. You have babies a little later in life because you've been influenced by the hippies. And then maybe some of them will have babies earlier in life. But the problem is, people who get babies earlier in life, you will catch them while their kids are 5, 6, 7. and they have all sorts of regrets. They're like, oh, I would have wanted to be an astronaut. Oh, I would have wanted to be this or that. I shouldn't have made my children so early. But this is all based on a fallacy. You wouldn't have become an astronaut. You would have worked in a fucking fast food at minimal salary. You would have been like carpeted by the system. The system would have farmed you. You would have nothing accumulated. You would have done nothing important between 18 and 25. At least now you have children. And I think it's only later that people end up understanding the importance of this. But when you ask people who have had young children when they were young, and they still have them and they have to care for them, they have all these regrets about a life that they couldn't have had anyway. And they have to understand the alternative to having three children and spending a lot of effort and time on educating them. The alternative is not to be an astronaut or to have become a great person. Most probabilistically, you would have become an unimportant wage slave working to pay your credit card debt. Okay? Just working to pay the minimal payment on your debt. That's what people become. So don't discard the importance of having an asset like children that will always be your children, and they will become eventually independent, and you're going to be done with life. You're going to be happy to die if it has to happen, because you're going to have done what's important. How do you pass on this meme? I have no idea, because every time we have a generation of young people who grow up with young parents, they get told by their parents, don't do this. Don't forget to be an astronaut. Chuck Garrity says her issue is she won't attract a good man with three kids. The point is, having three kids is already the achievement. She has won the game of evolution. Exactly. She doesn't have to have another man, but she will probably pursue having another man. That is sad, because it's going to be a relationship of non-reproduction, or perhaps one more baby that he's going to be happy with. And yeah, the reality is she has won already. She has done everything. People have difficulty attaining success, you know, in life. They always think there's something more to be done, but no, if you have your three children, getting them alive to adulthood is all you have to do. Silver Spider says, I've been pretty successful in my career, but none of it matters when you see your baby after work. Exactly. What does it matter if you had a big salary and you were paying lots of taxes? Channel Awesome says, people can't think about their finality, so thinking about dying alone as something that hit most people very too late in life. Absolutely. A whistleblower who served as Twitter's security chief said in regulatory filings obtained by the Epoch Times that the big tech company misled Elon Musk about the number of bots on the platform, with possible implications for their ongoing legal battle. Oh my god, this guy knows how to give the argument that people want to hear. Chel Burns says, I have three children. I wish I had 8 or 10. Oh yeah, I mean, it's good to aim for 8 or 10. But at the same time, you have to take them as an additional gift. You know, if you have three children, you're already above average. You're already pulling the average up in terms of growing the population and growing our population. So yes, you can engage in trying to get more. But you can also appreciate that you are above average. You've done better than most people. Putin decree gives all Ukrainians a path to Russian citizenship. That was a strategy that Putin was using mostly in DPR and LPR, but now he's saying to all Ukrainians, you can make it to Russia and we will accept you in. This is relatively surprising, given that the car bombing that just happened was a case of a Ukrainian benefiting from this Russian generosity with regards to immigration. He signed a decree extending a simplified Russian naturalization process to all citizens of Ukraine. Previously, a simplified procedure for acquiring Russian citizenship applied only to residents of DPR and LPR, as well as Russian-occupied regions of Kherson and Zaporizhzhia. Is that an indication that Putin wants a full military domination of Ukraine? I don't know. I don't know, but perhaps it's simply the fact that there are a lot of Russian sympathetic people who are spread across Ukraine, and he wants to be sure that they have an option to make it to Russia. Letters of readiness for surgery. This is how easy it is to get a letter of readiness for surgery. They were available for free at the Madison, Wisconsin Pride Festival this weekend for those identifying as trans or non-binary. This is gender-affirming care. Letters of readiness, integrated counseling. So you come with your child, he sits here, talks with the person with a computer here. Okay, I'm going to print your letter of readiness, and you exit here, and there you go. Free letters of readiness for surgery. You can get your balls chopped. I mean, you would have any other form of mutilation in a tent like this, the person would get arrested. Like, letters of readiness for, I don't know, for cutting your elbows. No, you can't do this. That's dangerous. Letters of readiness for eating traditional steak raised by a Amish. Oh no, that's dangerous. Meat raised traditionally has not been passing through the checkpoints of the government. We can't let you eat that meat. But letters of readiness for sex surgery, that is available in a tent in Wisconsin right now. This guy will be coping for the vax until he dies, says Dissident Soaps. Scott Adams apparently is one of those guys who has been getting the vax and who's coping about it. The lowest awareness take on vaccinations is that the people who feared the jab were the brave ones. The high awareness take is that everyone was acting on fear and everyone was guessing what path was safest. No one outthought anyone. It was just fear and guessing. I disagree, Scott Adams. I was not guided by fear at all. I was guided by rationality. I was guided by the observation of my fellow human beings in the last few decades and how they went crazy with the pig flu, the H1N1. They kept going crazier and crazier, and I saw them become crazy around COVID. And I've made a rational decision based on my observation, based on, hey, should someone take a preventive medicine that hasn't been tested for more than 3 months? Ever. Like a novel technology that has 3 months of test under the belt. Under the belt. And the answer is no. In fact, someone on Gab says, no, it wasn't fear. It was common sense that told me not to take the jab. I out-common sensed you. It's kind of a weak point to try to say because you acted out of fear by taking the vax that everyone must have been acting out of fear. I had zero fear. I had zero fear about COVID, and I had a little bit of fear about the vax. Web Phoenix sends a super chat. He says, I'm double vaxxed. I had to take it for my job. Yes, and we have I don't know if I have it loaded in my Windows, so I can't show you, but the guy, the Rumble guy, who's this guy? The YouTuber, what's his name? You know, the very well-known personality who has Rumble. Anyways, this guy was saying one of his biggest regrets is taking the vax. Even a guy like this who has balls, who stands as some kind of a dissident. No, the guy who owns Rumble or owns it partly, he's black, I think. He's an ex-army guy. His name should be popping out in my head easily. It's not Steve Bannon. It's not Dan Bongino. That's him. So Dan Bongino says his biggest regret is taking the vax. Even a guy like this with some degree of freedom and some degree of dissidence was compelled, was forced. I don't know, maybe the hospital told him you have to get the vax or you won't get your cancer treatment or whatever. But it just shows just how much control the institutions have over us. And my God, we have to fight this. We have to create a future for our children where this is not the case, or where there's an opt-out at least, so that the sheep can follow whatever they want, but don't tread on me. Don't try to force it on me. Girlfriend of late Oregon football star Spencer Webb announces she is pregnant. We created an angel. Webb died in July after hitting his head during a cliff diving accident. Look at this beautiful woman. He inseminated this woman just before killing himself by, oh, bro, let's jump, bro. Let's jump down the cliff, bro. There's water. It's going to be okay. And I can't help but take pleasure because every time in my old childhood, I've always refused to participate to cliff diving accidents, activities. I've always refused to join the rest of the class in escalating a vertical wall because I was like, out of a million people doing this, someone's going to break their neck and die. And so I'm alive, he's dead. I don't want to dance on his tomb. Look, he successfully had a baby with this girl. Look at the guy. There he is. I mean, not super smart, but he's going to end up having one baby. I'm okay with it. She published her DMs with the guy just before he died. I'm gonna get you pregnant. She answers, please. You think I won't? I'm ready, baby daddy. You're stuck with me. You're stuck with me. Holy shit. The life of the low IQ. There you go. That's how it works. That's how you get a 10 out of 10 girlfriend. You're just this brute cliff diver who risks his life on an everyday basis, and I'm gonna make you baby. I would love my life to be that simple. I would love to not care, not have to think. I would love to live in a 60 IQ brain just for a day, just for a day. DK Shadow says, it's so easy for them. Silver Spider says, be a football player. Yes, that's probably another thing that led to his success. But it made me think about idiocracy, and it also made me think about Brett Weinstein and his theory of the orgasm as you get hanged. The last ditch effort at reproduction. This guy planted his seed as a last ditch effort. It's kind of, his genes knew that he was too stupid to survive, and they did what they had to do to get a baby. And he died a few days after. Silver Spider says, Jeff, would you really want to live in a 60 IQ brain? No, I'm kidding. But it would be a kind of relaxation. Maybe at some point with mind uploading, you know, we could offer a service like this, like live in a 60 IQ brain for 24 hours and you come out of it and you're zen and you haven't been annoyed at all by the wokeness for 24 hours. And you've been seeing the wokes on Twitter and it's like you couldn't even understand what they were saying. It must be relaxed. Cloud Warmer says, JF quote of the day is, Jeans knew he was too stupid to survive and made a last-ditched effort to reproduce. That's what they did. That's what Brett Weinstein was describing and Heather Hying with the plant. You know, the plant realizes, holy shit, it's getting cold. I'm going to produce one last seed. I can do it. And it gives all of its energy and you see all of the leaves become yellow and it's like, this is my seed. This is the only thing that can work. Ariel Suarez says, the phenotypic machine was short-lasting and the genes knew that they needed a new phenotype machine ASAP. Absolutely. Sometimes the genes, they sense things before you do. Two men convicted of conspiracy to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer, which was an obvious fed up, by a second, more diverse jury. So the first jury couldn't find them guilty, but because it was a hung jury, the government had the privilege of redoing the whole trial. That sucks. That sucks. I think there shouldn't be such a thing. Because then what? You shuffle through all possible juries and eventually you end up with a leftist jury enough that you end up winning. And how the media is bragging about the men were judged by a second, more diverse jury than in the first trial, which ended with no convictions for the government. So if we can't have you with a white jury, we're going to try a non-white jury and it's going to be more diverse and therefore we have a shot at getting you in jail. Listen, given that this whole plot was pushed essentially by FBI agents, I find this ridiculous. It's a bunch of Spider-Man FBI people who started saying, he's criminal. And then, oh no, I'm an FBI agent. Well, he's the criminal. I'm an FBI agent too. He's the criminal. No, I'm CIA. And then it was like the last guy was the autist who ends up being found guilty, just like in the meme. I find this absolutely exploitative, entrapment, and we shouldn't do this. The situation of the war in Ukraine is pretty stable. There was some bragging by Russia that they are now dominating some area. I believe they say around here. So they are getting close to Mykolaiv, but it's not updated yet on this map. But they say they have successfully seized a strategic a small area that they had difficulty taking control of in the past. So we'll see. As far as the Eastern Front, it's still not moved very much from the last times we've been looking at, but we're looking at a war of attrition. So it's going to be especially important, the attrition aspect during the winter, because it's going to be cold, it's going to be more costly for troops to remain on the field, so who knows, this might create opportunities. DK Shadow says, don't be that autist, don't talk to the FBI, CIA, Mossad. Oh yeah, I mean, criminality, planning stuff that is criminal in nature, and doing so with other human beings is especially ridiculous, especially idiotic. You know, at this point that they have so much money, they can get their men into any group of more than one person. So very not advisable to be committing crimes in groups. Mood Legendary, certificate of achievement. A certificate is awarded to those who survive the greatest psychological fear campaign in human history shall now be entitled to the honorable designation of unvaccinated legend. Yes, I'm proud that we have survived. We have survived the assault on our liberty. They told us we couldn't go to McDonald's. They told us we couldn't go to all sorts of things. They told us they wouldn't employ us, and we resisted. Many of us, not all of you, I understand, but I'm proud of this certificate of achievement. I might print it and put it on my wall here with my other great realization. Utah teachers questions whether posh white parents will oppose our classroom built for non-white students. Oh my God, she's making a very bad start. Well, she or he, I don't know who that person is. This fourth grade teacher explains that her classroom is built for non-white students. So she's starting a first classroom in Utah, and it's the first time that she's confronted with a class in which most people are white. Hopefully the parents in Utah are aware that this is going on and they start questioning her approach, because she says she designed her classes for non-whites. I suspect that there will be some level of CRT in it. I want to talk about the Chicago schools. I hadn't pulled it up, but let me find the stats, because it's unbelievable. Do you know just how bad a Chicago school is? A journalist has, from an outlet called Wire Points, has contacted the teachers union and has presented some of the numbers about the poor performance in Chicago school. The director of the union of teachers responded to the Wire Points journalist, "Fuck Wire Points, period." So he's bringing statistics, and he's like, isn't that worrying a little bit about children, you know, not being able to read or do math? And he says, "Fuck Wire Points." That is the state of the cartel of education in Chicago. I just didn't know it was that bad. Try to guess in the regular chat. Try to guess. How many, in the worst school of Chicago, how many children in high school end up knowing how to read and do math? Do you think it's 50%? Do you think it's 25%? Do you think it's 10%? Do you think it's 5%? Do you think it's 1%? Or do you think it's 0%? How many children out of 1,000 in the worst Chicago school end up knowing how to do math and reading? Nicholas Petris says 10%. Chuck Garrity says 30%. Ariel Suarez says 5%. No, it is 0%. There are some schools in Chicago, the worst schools of Chicago, not a single person knows how to read and do math at basic high school levels. We have 1% in other schools, 2% in some other schools, 3%, 6%. Look at the number. Proficiency in reading on the left, proficiency in math on the right. 2%, 1%. 0, 0. 3, 0, 1, 0, 6, 1, 2, 1. Oh, we have a particularly talented school here. 11% of the children know how to read. 2%, 1%, 6%, 2%, 16%, 11%, 5, 6. Oh, particular talent here. 38% of the children know how to read, 19% know how to do math. 2%, 0%, 0%, 2%, 28-16, 11-7, 22-14, 6-5, 6-8, 11-7 person. And the degree of occupation of the school, because people don't want to go in these schools, I would understand why. Percent of school utilized, 5%. 5, 8, 8, 9, 11, 13. It goes up to 24%. These schools are empty buildings filled with people who don't learn a single thing. Send your child to a school like this. Some of these schools, your child has zero chance of learning how to read or math. In some of these schools, he might have a 2% chance to get out knowing something. Ariel Suarez says 11% is already above average law. Well, the average, it's between 5 and 25%, basically, they say, for the whole, for the most empty CPS schools. And they are getting $28,000 a year per student. $28,000 as district operating budget, and they can't teach them English or math. It's really sad. It's really sad. It's destruction of communities in the US, and people understandably don't want to be in these areas. They end up going elsewhere, but some people get stuck in these areas and they end up having no other choice than to send their children at these places. Chuck Garrity says, so what do we do as a society with these future adults? I don't know what we do. I think we should let people. There are people who are definitely not made for school. We should let people self-associate with the people they want to associate with. And we should contain problems like this. Contain them so that they do not hurt us. Like, just make sure that these kids don't end up being my heart surgeon. That would work. Just make sure that they don't end up being able to hurt my family. And then create a wall, a beautiful wall, a big beautiful wall with a beautiful door. But keep the door closed. That's what Trump forgot. Keep the door closed. Moscow claims it captured land in key part of Ukraine. The Russian military has reported that it took 12 square kilometers in the southern Nikolaev region. So that was what I was talking about, southwestern area of Ukraine. What else do we have? Intel Inc.'s $30 billion financing partnership with Brookfield to fund manufacturing expansion. Intel is taking a large step in expanding its manufacturing at a time when many in the market are counting the semiconductor company out. Man, Intel, I was just reading this news, and you have to give it to Intel. They've been making good chips. For 20 years now, I've been satisfied. I've been having the Pentium. I've been having whatever they made after. I've been having the Core 2 Duo. Then I've been having i5s, i7s, i9s. Respect to Intel. I want them to be successful. I hope they use these $30 billion to create the next computer I will buy. They've been awesome. They've been performant. It's rare, a company that I'm satisfied with, but I'm satisfied with Walmart, Intel, Amazon. They've been doing good stuff. Now get to the optics CPU, please. Bring optics into the CPU world. Moscow blasts U.S. reaction to murder of Russian journalist Daria Dugina, which we've been talking about in the last two shows. Washington has no moral right to judge the state of human rights in faraway places if they don't even comment on the murder of a journalist. So this is in reference to the fact that the U.S. has reported having no opinion, nothing to report about Daria Dugina. And they said, we condemn attacks on private citizens everywhere, but it was a very general comment. And Russia is saying, look, if you cannot be with us on this, if you cannot say this is disgusting, then don't comment on humanitarian rights and the state of freedom in Russia. I mean, we're talking here just a journalist, a public intellectual, gets targeted by a bomb. It doesn't get dirtier than this. John Drake says they've been messing up. Advanced Micro Devices is making up ground on them. So AMD, ground on them in recent years. I think the golden age of AMD, I know it's a controversial position of mine. Maybe you'll disagree. But in my view, the golden age of AMD is already behind us. I said it. There, I said it. AMD has been outperforming Intel for price for a short window of time that lasted about 3 years. And I've been satisfied with Intel's i9 generation. They've been better than AMD. That's my opinion. And they've been performing better on the benchmarks. I understand that the Threadrippers were pretty much up there, but I like Intel, and Intel has been slightly outperforming them, I find, in the i9s category versus the Threadrippers. You now have a massive amount of CPUs and cores, as they call them. Naberius says AMD CPUs run hot. Well, yeah, I mean, they package so much in this. At this point, they're putting the GPU inside the chip. It's like an AMD CPU is like 2 times, 3 times bigger, I think. It's a rectangle rather than a square. Cloudwarmer says, Jeff, are you concerned with the art? But you know, AMD 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I did buy an AMD at some point and I enjoyed it. But because it was lower price and it had everything just as good as Intel. But since then, Intel has just been coming back, in my view. Cloudwarmer says, Jeff, are you concerned with the hardware backdoors in the Intel vPro subcomponent that the CPU isn't even aware of? They claimed it was exploitable oversight in 2020. But I would think it was by design. I assume you're not using enterprise CPUs with vPro from Intel. No, I'm not using any of those. Enterprise hardware, basically, I have a difficulty understanding how does it work. How do you get people to pay those prices? They are insane prices. Like the Xeon computer series. You would pay for an equivalent computer with that CPU, you would pay $10,000 instead of $1,000 or $2,000 for an equivalent desktop PC. Now, they had many cores and they were saying it's good for servers, but you look at an i9 right now, there are some i5s that totally outperform the Xeon series, and people were buying this for server network purposes. I just don't get it, how you fit that price. Why don't you buy 10 i9 with that money? I don't get it. But no, I have none of these enterprise hardware. And I know that there's been a lot of talking around backdoors. I think it's not very clever for these companies to introduce that kind of backdoors. It's ridiculous. And hopefully it doesn't happen for the personal computers. Cloudwarmer says, Jeff, enterprise CPUs are basically just higher quality silicon. in the center of the wafer with additional cache RAM most of the time. Yeah, I don't get it. How is that worth it? Because I run a server with an i5 right here in my backyard. Why would I need a Xeon? Chef Marv says maybe the Xeon are better suited for virtualization, perhaps. But, you know, I look at the benchmarks and this is not much more powerful. Maybe they perform in ways that the benchmark does not capture. I would be surprised of this. Americans are fed up with the two-tiered justice system. Rep. Owens argues that Republicans can bring back fairness and accountability if elected in November. Let me doubt this. The Republicans have shown that they don't have what it takes. They don't even understand the degree to which our society has been taken over. Please expect more trolls from troll farms. We've seen some bizarre people popping up on our Discord, and they start pro-Israel argument, and I'm like, okay, I see what you're doing here. The WEF announced the recruitment of information warriors. Hundreds of thousands of information warriors to control the internet, policing social media and forums for misinformation and conspiracy content, which will then be systematically shut down. There's going to be a wave of these trolls. They will report, they will try to catch us on a little thing that we forgot to delete. Be careful. And they will eventually start to engage with us, and they will come to make leftist arguments. Oh my God, it's going to suck. Germany announces 500 million euros arms package for Ukraine. Unbelievable. 500 million euros. Half a billion euros. And at this point, the euros are, they have lost their value. They're at the USD level now. But still, sending this money to Ukraine makes zero sense. They are maintaining a state of war. We should be working for peace. NATO chief says war in Ukraine is a battle of attrition, warns the winter will be hard. Ukraine's Zelensky says war with Russia will end where it began with Crimea. My God, Zelensky has a big ambition. He wants to take over Crimea. He's been successful at launching sabotage attacks on Crimea, but ground domination down to Crimea will be extremely hard. He hasn't demonstrated he was even able to defend the grounds that Russia wanted to claim. So how he could make his way to Crimea, that would be very surprising to me. But the Secretary General of NATO says that it will be a grinding war of attrition. But it seems to me that Russia is winning a war of attrition. Ukraine has the public, the social media trolls on its side. It has the money on its side. But underground, in terms of logistics, Russia seems to have been able to much more stably defend its advances, whereas Ukraine has lost territory and has barely recovered any of it by fighting back. CloudWarmer says most Intel CPU revisions seem to be changing very little for the last few generations. It's literally just current year Intel. Yeah, I don't expect massive innovations until we get to optics. I'm very excited at the idea of one laser sends another laser. There is an interaction between the light which determines zero or one. I would love this. But how can you make millions of these transistor optic units fit into a chip? I don't know. but we have to make it happen because that will be fast. When we can compute with light, we don't have to follow electricity anymore. It will be fast. The scientist calls for freedom from indoctrination. Well, that is good. That is what we want. And what else do we have before we conclude the show? A man faked his own death to avoid a prison sentence for repeatedly raping and impregnating a 14-year-old girl. So he has defrauded by basically inventing the fact that he was dead. In July 2018, he was found guilty of sexual abuse charges. They found a small boat in the Gulf of Mexico about a mile away from the shore with a gun tied to it. The dinghy was empty except for a suicide note. So he left a suicide note, but he didn't kill himself. So now he's guilty both of the sexual charges and of faking his own death, misdirecting the police toward believing that he had committed suicide. I talked about a Amish farmer earlier in the show. This Amish farmer was selling meat that he was raising in his own way, traditional way. He was killing the animals himself and slaughtering them, butchering them. He's now under threat from the U.S. federal government for refusal to abandon traditional farming practices. That's a video at Rebel News, and I've heard about it, this story, a lot on Gab. He was first accused of, you know, not passing through the official channels. Of course, it's a cartel. They want to force farmers to all send to the central meat processing plant. And of course, the friends of the regime in this plant can profit off of farmers that way. And because they're the only legal path, it's a monopoly, it's a cartel. Of course, this farmer doesn't use the central meat processing system approved by the government, so they gave him trouble a couple of years ago. He started a small private club. So it's like, it was a workaround. He wasn't selling you the meat, he was inviting you to his private club, and by your membership to the private club, he would give you meat. So that was a way to detour around the legislation and all. But now the government doesn't like this either. They want him to shut down his private club and to pass through the central government approved meat plants. This is ridiculous. And he's arguing that it's part of his religion to be processing the meat the way he processes it. Unfortunately, that kind of argument has been extremely efficient when it comes down to minorities in Canada, let's say. But when it's a Christian or Amish guy, I don't know if he's going to have the sympathy of the government here. We shouldn't have to pass what we eat through an obligatory government step. That's simple as this. When you're stuck with this, you are stuck with potential control of your food supply by the state. John Drake says he supplies a community of 4,000 or something like this. Yeah, I think there were 4,000 people in his private club. Ah, man, it's too bad. They're giving him so much trouble, and that's just humans finding their own way to live. I'm sure that his customers are super satisfied. They don't want the government to come and stop this economic interaction. John Drake says, too bad he wasn't Jewish. Kosher is no problem and big business. Yeah, and that's the problem. You know, these kosher and Quranic practices, they combine with the monopoly of the government. They go give these labels of approval in the meat processing plant. But what if your religion is about community? What if your religion is about I farm the beef, I raise the beef, and I slaughter the beef, and I sell the beef. How can that not be a part of a religion? But these religious exemptions and special rights, they have always been designed to favor anything else than just the honest commerce that is at the root of the US and Canada, which is honest community Christian commerce. That's it. John Drake says, absolutely. I used to work in this business. It's a racket. It is. It is. And man, society went so wrong, and it wouldn't have taken much to not go that way. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you so much for joining the show tonight. Join the Patreon or the Subscribestar if you would like to support the show on a monthly basis. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.